This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Over the next few weeks, we may do some traveling, visiting friends and family. If we're dog lovers, we may include our dogs. My guest in this portion of the program has some ideas for us on how we can include our dogs happily and peacefully. Dr. Moria O'Brien is an assistant clinical professor at the University of Illinois Veterinary Teaching Hospital in Urbana, where she spends a good deal of time in the hospital's ER, and where at this time of the year she sees a fair number of dogs with bite wounds. Why? Lots of folks take their dogs to their destination, and there may be a dog there, and or there may be other dogs arriving with their human companions. There could be trouble. Dr. O'Brien joins us with some ideas to help us prevent that trouble. Dr. O'Brien, welcome. Thanks so much for talking with me this afternoon.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We so often hear about the dangers chocolate and other foods and plants for dogs this time of year. How big a problem are dog fights that lead to a visit to the ER?
I don't know if they're a big problem, but it's certainly a problem people should be aware of. You know, when they bring their dogs to someone's house, I mean, my siblings bring their dogs and they just open the door and let them in. And there could be chaos if these are dogs that do not get along, or some dogs are territorial. Maybe there's food, maybe there's toys around, and their behavior may be different from what the owner is used to. And so sometimes we will see, and I kind of during my residency, I was sort of surprised by the number of dogs that were brought in that were being bit by other dogs in the house. And it turned out they were dogs that weren't used to being around one another. They were family members' dogs. So it's just something to be aware of and just sort of take precautions. One, if you have a dog who might be dog aggressive, maybe not bring them to the house. Or if they're going to be brought to the house, then you need to take actions, maybe crate them or keep them in the room away from other dogs. Or simply just when you introduce new dogs to one another, do it slowly. Let them, you know, be introduced on leashes so that if there is going to be any problems, someone has control over those dogs and can easily pull one or both away.
Yeah. Now, I do a program once a month on dog behavior with dog trainers, Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel. And one of the things that they suggest is introducing dogs on neutral territory. That means outside of the house.
Right.
That means maybe at the park or down the street.
Sure. Because if it's a house that, you know, the dog lives in, they're going to be much more territorial to some other dog coming into their house. So I think that's an excellent idea. That way they can meet on neutral ground and sort of there is no territory to be defended when they meet.
Yeah, and treats, could they be used as part of this situation so that everybody's happy, happy?
Could be. I mean, some dogs are not treat responsive. I would say most are. You just have to make sure you're not feeding bad behavior. Some people will keep feeding the bad behavior. Oh, stop growling, you know, and then they keep feeding the treats. Well, all the dog learns is, I get treats.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? So yes and no. Sometimes treats help.
So try and be a little smarter than the dog.
Yeah.
So when traveling with a dog or cat, for that matter, do you advise bringing the crate with or having it in the car and the animal crated? I have seen stories of people, you know, stopping at a rest stop and having a really sad story to come home
dog
with.
Dog jumps out.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, some people know the behavior of their dog, and if they're well behaved and they know that they when they say stay, when they open the door. But if you know you've got kind of maybe a misbehaving dog or even a young dog, again, some dog behavior is very different if you're getting them out of their normal routine. So I definitely would, and also crating might be helpful if you have to leave the house and you're leaving this dog in a place where they don't know. They might be more destructive than they would be at their own home. So it just makes for getting along with your relatives better if your dog does not destroy the couch or the bed or something like that.
That wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another potential problem, dogs biting people. So what's your advice for bringing a dog into a setting where there are a lot of people and a lot of activity that the dog maybe is not accustomed to?
Again, that's sort of keeping this dog back, if you already know this dog has a propensity for it, you know, and Christmas time has kids around and some kids aren't used to dogs and they don't know to maybe approach a dog slower, and definitely there's going to be issues there. So it's sort of common sense, just let them be introduced. Some dogs don't like it when you come into their sort of area. You got to let the dog come to you, get used to you. Some dogs aren't used to a lot of people and noise, and so it can be very overwhelming. And sometimes a bite is it's a fear thing. It's more of a protective mechanism than more of an aggression.
Yeah. So here again, maybe we also should think once again about leaving the dog with a sitter or boarding the dog. What are your thoughts about teaching children about how to approach, how not to approach a dog that's new to them?
Well, I think that's important for the rest of their lives, I think. And most dogs are very gregarious. They love people. They want the attention. But there are some of these very protective dogs. There are these one-person type dogs. They don't like someone coming right at them. And children really have no fear a lot of times. See cute dog, I'm going to go up and pet him. Well, unfortunately, again, the dog's first reaction is, oh, I'm freaked out, or they're coming near my owner. My first reaction is to bite. Well, now you've got a child potentially at face level with this dog. Where are they going to bite? Potentially to the face. I mean, that's where you start getting into horrible situations, having to go to the hospital, potentially, you know, maiming them. You really don't want to get into that at all. Yeah. So a lot of really good owners will know that, and even if they have a good dog, they'll tell the child, you know, just slow down, let them sniff your hand. But it's important if you have a child to really teach them that not all dogs want to be pet, not all dogs. Children are louder, quicker, and some dogs it scares them.
Yeah. Those other potential problems for dogs at this time of the year, you want to remind us what they are?
Tends to be the food.
Yeah, okay.
So chocolate. Chocolate is toxic to dogs. It does tend to be the type of chocolate and the amount they eat, although some dogs can be more sensitive than others. So the dark chocolates, the baking chocolates, are much more toxic. They just have higher concentrations than, say, the milk chocolate. Some people will put candy in bowls. You got to make sure it's up out of reach. Some people will wrap presents, you know, like the sampler candies, and put it under the tree. Mm. The dog can easily sniff that and will easily get into that. So if there's any risk of that, just try and avoid that. Other problems with food are just being fed people food. Some people, when you have a big group, and they might be used to feeding their own dog table scraps, and then they feed grandma's dog table scraps. Well, if grandma's dog's not used to getting table scraps, that can cause a lot of problems. I mean, it might be as simple as a little stomach upset, maybe a little vomiting and diarrhea, but worst case scenario is pancreatitis. Pancreatitis can be a very serious disease. It can cause them to be hospitalized on IV fluids. It can be life-threatening. So, again, just trying to use some common sense and don't assume every dog is like your dog, that every dog can have people food. And then, again, when you get the dogs into a different home, they may not behave normally. So you may have a dog who behaves wonderfully at home, gets to grandma's house, they're jumping up on the table, they're jumping on the counter because it's not their normal home. So the rules don't apply here. It's not my normal home. So you can have what we call counter surfers, you know. They start reaching up. They start reaching for things. There's turkey. There's, you know, sometimes the cans of lard from people cooking. These are all things that they can get into and cause lots of problems.
Yeah. And for cats, what are their biggest
threats? The biggest thing in cats that I see around holiday times, not necessarily at Christmas, but lilies. So some people will be given bouquets. So any type of lily, all parts of a lily are toxic to cats. And when I say toxic, I mean like antifreeze. So they'll go into kidney failure, and it is often a kidney failure we can't get them out of if they've gone too far. So that can be very serious. So I tell people, if you've been given a bouquet with lilies, keep the rest, but throw out the lilies. Just get rid of them so that they can't get a hold of them. Liquid potpourri. Some cats will actually drink it, and it'll cause like burns on the inside of their mouth. It can cause them to vomit. So those are the big things with cats.
Okay.
They're not as naughty as dogs, but occasionally they can be. Tinsel on Christmas trees can be pretty dangerous. I don't know why dogs do that, but they'll sometimes eat the tinsel. The tinsel can act, if you can imagine, it gets into their intestinal tract, and if they have part of it stuck, the intestines keep trying to move normally, and then this tinsel will tighten up and almost it can cut through their intestines and cause can cause life-threatening injuries that require surgery.
Yeah. If you suspect or realize that your animal has gotten into something that's not good for him or her, when does that demand the attention of a vet?
That's a hard question to answer because we always say if you are concerned, it's enough to bring them in.
Yeah.
It really is. If they're not acting themselves, if they are not eating, if the vomiting, like if they vomit once but they're still acting fine and, you know, relatively, I don't get as concerned, but I think some people think, oh, they're just going to get better. Oh, they're just going to, and then several days go by. And unfortunately, after several days, so if they've gotten a toxin, well, we could already be in kidney failure or have other problems like that, that if they were brought in 2 days beforehand, we would have had a much better chance of getting them through that episode. So I usually say pretty much from the start of signs, I would have them brought in or at least talk to a veterinarian.
Okay.
Who can advise you, you know, based on your individual situation.
Well, this has given us something to think about. And with a little forethought, we'll be fine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, then the holidays can be safe.
Okay. Well, happy holidays, Dr. O'Brien.
Happy holidays to you.
Dr. Moria O'Brien is an assistant clinical professor at the University of Illinois Veterinary Teaching Hospital in Urbana.